first thing you need to do is make sure that you know your customer and that your product is actually meeting a need or fulfilling something that that customer wants.
You're listening to episode 54 of Power Pearls Podcast. I'm the host, Karagat Warner, and it's my mission to share those stories that celebrate our passion for yarn crafting and what keeps us going down that path. Hey there, welcome to another episode of Power Pearls Podcast. And before we jump into this episode, I just want to share a little bit about my guest. Her name is Mariah Clark, and she's going to be talking about an interesting new bag concept that she is in the process of developing, and it is called the Duo Bag. And it is a knitting bag that's especially for knitters and crocheters, and it's a really interesting construction. And I think you'll really enjoy this because, you know, she talks about her experiences on Kickstarter. So if this is something that any of you have been thinking about, she really kind of breaks it down and talks about how she started and, you know, just some tips and advice for how you can kind of break things down into smaller chunks and, you know, start your own launch, your own Kickstarter, if you have a big idea, if you have a big project. And the thing that I really appreciate about Mariah's advice and also her story is that she kept talking a lot about how she surveyed her audience and she listened to people and she was really out there talking about the needs. And that's what it comes down to. It's like she realized that there was a need and she basically filled it. Another thing that I wanted to mention is there's a little faux pas at the beginning of this episode because I mentioned her yarn shop and I called it Stitch Armor, which is incorrect. It's actually Stitch Amore. Stitchamore.com is her yarn shop in Waynesboro, Virginia. So I apologize about my faux pas. It is not Stitch Armor. I added an R in there somehow. But anyway, so I really hope that you enjoy this episode. So without further ado, let's jump in and meet Mariah Clark. And before we jump into the episode, I just want to give a quick high five to some of my latest patrons on Patreon. I want to say thank you to Terry Hudgens, Georgia Gall, Christy Hardy, Dorothy Araza, Marie Caraza Tricker, and Elaine Wilson. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for your support and your patronage of Power Pearls Podcast. And if you want to learn more about how to support Power Pearls Podcast, please visit patreon.com/Power Pearls Podcast. And there are several different rewards levels that you can take advantage of for becoming a sponsor of Power Pearls. Hey, welcome to another episode of Power Pearls Podcast. Today, I am joined by Mariah Clark, who has over 6 years experience designing knitting bags and 25 years of working with yarn. She has a BS in apparel design from Virginia Tech, and after graduating from college, she studied couture sewing in Paris, France. She owns Stitch Armor, a yarn shop in Waynesboro, Virginia, and is in the process of launching Lori Lane, a new line of knitting bags. And Mariah's here today to talk all about it. Mariah, welcome to Power Pearls Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Well, this is great. You know, you reached out to me a couple months ago through Creative Knitting, and I suddenly thought, oh my gosh, this would be amazing to have you on Power Pearls to talk about your bag, because I know that this is something that yarn crafters are really wanting to have in their lives, because this new bag, you're going to talk about it, but it's so functional and it's just perfect. And also your subject line, I loved because it said innovative knitting bag, knitting entrepreneur story. And so, of course, this perked my attention because anything about entrepreneurs and especially creative entrepreneurs and their journey, it's really important to the listeners of Power Pearls podcast. And also, you know, it's just what you did or what you're doing to follow your dreams and make something happen. So I just think that those kinds of stories are so inspiring and so intriguing. So, you know, I gave the listeners a little taste about you. So could you now just jump in a little bit more, Mariah, and share your personal journey and talk a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I, as you said, went to Virginia Tech. I studied apparel design, and I have always loved to knit and crochet. My mom taught me to crochet when I was 5. I learned to knit when I was in high school. And after graduating from college and after getting back from Paris, I spent a lot of time at a local yarn shop and designed my first knitting bag, which was a bag for myself. And the owner of the yarn shop really liked it and asked me to make some bags and be a vendor at a charity event she had coming up. And that was the beginning of my venture into knitting bags. For a couple years, I did local fiber festivals and designed knitting bags and sold them there. And I loved talking to all the different people about what they wanted, what they needed in a knitting bag. Shortly thereafter, I opened my own store. It was handmade and locally made items. It was apparel I had designed, the knitting bags I had done, local hand paints for yarn, jewelry, all sorts of artisan crafts. And I did that for several years. And as I moved on, well, as I was doing the store, it evolved and eventually became a full-fledged yarn shop carrying commercial yarns as well as the local hand paints. So Stitch & More is my yarn shop. It also still carries a lot of the unique artisan items that I started with. And over the years, I have just heard lots of people say, oh, I wish I could find a bag that did this, or I can't stand this about my bag, or the zippers eat my yarn, or my bag won't stay shut, or the straps are too short, or I need a bag that stands up on its own and doesn't flop over, and my yarn keeps getting tangled. And I decided that I love to design, I love the challenge, and I was going to design a bag that would solve all these problems. I started with a survey. I put it out on through as many networks as I could to get as much feedback as possible and just said, what's your favorite feature in a knitting bag? What's your least favorite feature? What things does it have to have? And I got all the data back and I looked through it and I started designing. And it took me over 2 years and lots 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 of prototypes. But I finally have a bag that I really, really love. I think others really will love it. When I finished the design process, I did the same thing. I went back to my network and reached out beyond my network to hear what people had to say about the bag, and I got really positive feedback. So I then went and did a crowdfunding, a Kickstarter campaign. And that was successful, and I am in the process of launching Lori Lane and Duo.
Well, that's really cool. And I have to just apologize. I pronounced your yarn company, your yarn shop wrong. I said Stitch Armor. So, Stitch Amore. I don't know how I got that wrong. So I apologize, Mariah. But you know, I just wanted to say that I think it's really important what you did to survey your audience, talking to your customers. I mean, that's so valuable to like have that exposure to the customers in your shop, to all the people that you met at the artisan show, because you just can't get that, you know, from, you know, going on social media, seeing what people are doing. I mean, you can survey people, which you did, but you were really lucky to have such a vast network, because that was really the fuel, right? That really helped you to create this bag. Yeah. So All right. So let's talk a little bit about, I was going to ask you, you shared a quote with me, but I'm going to wait on that because I just want to keep going down this path to talk about the bag because you're starting to already tell that story. So you have this line called Lori Lane and you're creating this bag called Duo and it's a functional bag. So it's really, it's got all the features that all the people in your network and you did all these surveys. And so they said, this is what we want. And so you went to work and you did it. So you saw a need and you filled it. So now let's really talk about what makes your bag different because we're not seeing the bag yet. We're just listening to you tell the story about the bag. So what is it that makes this bag different?
Okay. Duo is a small project bag. It is not for huge sweaters. I hope to eventually expand on my line, but I started with the specific need of sock knitters and small project knitters. So one feature that is very unique to Duo is that it has knitting needle slings, which actually hold double-pointed needles. So you can hold two sets of double-pointed needles suspended at the top of your bag so that you don't have to worry about those little itty-bitty needles, especially if you're doing socks and you're on ones or twos, getting down the bottom of your bag and getting broken. And it also helps keep the stitches on the needles, and they're accessible. It's close to the top. You can reach in, grab them really quickly. I also have yarn slings in the bag, which hold two balls of yarn. So again, if you're doing two at a time, or you can always just have your working yarn and then a spare if you're going out and you think you'll knit through a whole ball and might want your second there. The slings hold center pole balls in a way that they're not rolling around in the bottom of your bag. So if you've ever gone to knit group and gotten there and you have this tangled mess of, goodness, or if you're doing stripes and you have two colors and you pull it out and it's like, what happened? With Duo, can arrive, open the bag, and you're ready to start knitting exactly where you stop knitting, which is really nice.
That's
not
awesome.
Having to pick up stitches and untangle all of your yarn. Another really awesome feature that it has is a spring frame. It is two pieces of metal with hinges on the ends, and it opens to either an open or closed position. So your bag is either open and accessible, not flopping over, not closing up on you. You can reach in, get what you need, or it is nice and securely shut without having to have a zipper, which, as we know, Velcro and zippers, not good with yarn.
No, so and I have to say, I love that. I'm sorry, I just cut you off. I thought I had a little moment there to jump in, but I just wanted to say that I love that feature. When I saw the video, because you sent me all these links, and that I love how it opens that feature, you know, with the spring frame. That is that is like the number one feature that I absolutely love. So sorry, go ahead, keep going.
Thank you. Another feature that it has is nice long straps. One thing that surprised me over the years, but that I heard over and over and over, is that a lot of bags have straps that are too short, and people like to be able to just pick up a bag and fling it over their shoulder and not have to use two hands to actually pull it up their arm. So it has plenty of room to be able to easily sling it on. And then another great feature is that there's nice thick interfacing between the layers of fabric, so it does stand on its own. Even when it's empty, if you set it down, it's not going to flop over on you. It's going to stay up. It's going to be upright and ready and not falling over and having everything roll out as a tote bag. Anybody who's ever tried to carry a knitting project on a tote bag knows that that can be very frustrating.
Mm-hmm. So what about the fabric? What kind of fabric are you using? Is it like a, you know, an upholstery grade? Like, tell me a little bit about the fabric. Can people pick their own print? Do you have like a range of different prints that they can pick from?
Currently, there are two different prints. I'm looking at adding additional prints, and I love picking out fabric, so I'm sure that there will always be new prints coming available. They are upholstery weight, so they're nice and durable. And the inside is the lining fabric is a polyester shantung. So it's a really pretty fabric. It almost looks like a Dupioni silk, but it's a polyester, so it's nice and durable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the bags are beautiful. When I saw the video, I was just very impressed. So you said that these are meant for like the sock knitter or small project knitter or crocheter. So what are the dimensions of this particular bag? Do you have rough idea on that?
So it's 12 and a half at the top, and it sits 8.5 inches tall.
So I want to shift gears just a little bit now and just talk a little bit more about your entrepreneurial story. And, you know, because you saw this need, you filled it, and, you know, you're taking pre-orders now. So the bag is not quite yet to market because you've been conducting a Kickstarter for, you know, a little while now. So when did you decide you wanted to start this, you know, to do the Kickstarter into, and what was your goal? And, you know, what was your kind of your strategy around getting something like this off the ground with Kickstarter?
So my goal with Kickstarter was, well, the whole crowdfunding is to have capital, but also more than that was to make sure that it was a viable product. I had had all these people tell me they loved it, but this was a great way of testing it on the market and making sure that people actually not just loved it, but that they wanted to buy it. And so it's a great way of starting off. I now have orders that are I am in the process of producing right now, and it was just sort of a great way of just that kickstarting, launching in a time frame of here's a month, this is the trial, this is when we're going, let's either make it, or it was a make or break. That's the way Kickstarter works. Either you hit your goal or you don't, and then you either produce or you don't. So it was a great way of testing the bag on the market for a limited time and then coming out of it with capital and orders.
And so when did you start this? It's been going on for how long now?
I ran the Kickstarter for the month of November. It was 30 days, and we did reach our goal. We went over our goal, so that was wonderful. And then after the 30 days were up, we started the production process.
That's great. So was it pretty easy to start something like this? I mean, what would someone need to do to start doing a Kickstarter as far, you know, to make it successful? Like, what kind of components would someone really need to, you know, marketing components, I guess, you know, what would they need to do to really make this a successful venture?
I have done a lot of research on crowdfunding before starting this. And one of the things that I read over and over and over is that it's really important to have an established network of people who are interested in your product and ready to contribute to get it off the ground. So one thing that I did that I think was very helpful was before I launched, I had information on my website. I had all different things, collecting emails, telling people about it, telling people that the Kickstarter was going to start, really building that marketing base before I actually did the Kickstarter, which was very helpful. As far as setting up the actual Kickstarter, you need to have a video. I don't think it's required, but I think the success rate is much lower for people who don't have a video. You have to have good product descriptions. You have to have a plan. You have to convince people that you have thought this through, that you're not just, it's not just an item, an idea. You have a prototype. You have and I believe in some categories, prototype is actually required. It depends. Often people will use Kickstarter for things like records, recording, music albums, and things like that. And I don't think those have to have prototypes, but anything physical does have to have a prototype. So you have to have gone through the design process and be at a point where if it's funded, you can produce the product. It's not it's past the idea stage, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
So yeah, if you have an idea, it's really about putting it all down on paper first. Not you know, can't just be like, today I'm going to do a Kickstarter. So really putting all those ducks in a row is a really important thing. So, you know, I'm on Patreon, and I don't know if you've heard of Patreon, but it's definitely a different kind of a model because Patreon is more like a membership model. You know, people want to be a patron of the arts as compared to helping you fund like a project like yours or a book or that sort of thing. So just in case people are wondering the differences there. Did you ever think of doing a Patreon? I don't know if you know what that is, but
I had never heard about it before you just said it, but for me, it was really important that the people who were contributing were getting a physical item. They're contributing, but I saw it as pre-orders because I did have lower tiers that had patterns and other things as the reward, but I tried to make sure that people were getting more than the value of what they were contributing so that they were getting tangible items.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense because then at the end of the program, they're actually getting the bag or pre-ordering the bag, or do they actually get like a discount or?
They were discounted prices. Mm-hmm. So it's a pre-order because the bags are now being produced. So they will be getting the bags in April. It was a discounted price and they will be getting the bags.
So what was your biggest struggle with doing this? I mean, like, were there little snags along the way? And, you know, because I have heard some negatives about Kickstarter. I'm just curious what your experience was like. Was it all pretty much positive?
I did. I had a very positive experience with the actual platform. The hardest part for me is I'm very visual based. I'm very numbers and mathematical, and I think that's why I love to knit and why I love to crochet. But for me, it's the putting stuff on paper, the words. So one of my challenges in any aspect of business has always been getting my ideas out of either a physical or a vision in my head onto paper in a way that other people can read about it and know they can see what I'm seeing in my head. So that's always been my hardest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that leads me to my question to you, or actually, question. So I would love for you to elaborate on a quote. So at the beginning of every episode, well, show notes, there's a quote. I always ask all my guests to send just, you know, a meaningful, poignant kind of phrase that really resonates with them. And you sent one, and I'd like to read it if you don't mind. And then I'd like you to elaborate on it. Is that cool?
That's fine.
Okay. All right. Here goes. I approach business in the same way I approach a knitting pattern. I see the final goal and break it down into individual steps and then systematically tackle each one. So, So how would you elaborate on something like this and how it works in your business life and how this kind of how it kind of compares to your knitting life?
Right. Very much as I said, I tried to break everything down into logical steps because that's the way I can process it. So for instance, if it's a marketing plan, I know who I want to reach. I then break it down into what channels might reach those people and what's going to be the best way of doing it. And then I just make a list of steps. I love Trello. It's one of my favorite organizational tools. It's online if you don't know it. It's tasks, and you can put it in different categories and give it due dates. And for me, that just sort of helps me see the big picture in little pieces. And then I can, as I complete each task, move it over to the done pile. And I can also see it in the calendar form so that I can see what things need to be done in what order. But it's just a matter of breaking each step down into what are the doable tasks I need to write the ad, I need to make the visual creative, I need to submit it, what are the tasks that are going to make it so that I can get this marketing done? And same way with a knitting pattern, it's breaking down, I want the sleeve to do this, I want it to get bigger, I know I need to add an increase, I know I need to either put short rows or whatever it is, but you're breaking it down row by row, step by step to get that finished garment to look the way you want it to look.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I use Asana, and I've heard of Trello, but I haven't checked it out. Have you ever heard of Asana? Because I'm wondering, maybe Trello's better. Because I'm like,
Asana.
A geek. I always like to try the the latest thing and see if it's better than the other latest thing. So, but yeah, I've heard some good things about Trello, but I like how you explained how it kind of puts it into a calendar form too. That sounds very helpful. I mean, I think that's where it's at. Like you explained this, the smaller, breaking things down into smaller chunks, you know. And as far as like being more specific about like the big picture, I think that's where a lot of people get tripped up, where if it's like, you know, make new handbag, right? Like, but what, oh my gosh, that's like huge. Like being more specific, like come up with an outline for X, or what does the closure look like, or source the fabric, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so I think that that's the difference where, or I think that's where maybe I know I've gotten tripped up, but others can get tripped up where they're not, you know, they're looking at the big picture and then not, maybe not knowing, you know, exactly how to break it down. So really, whether it's on paper or in a program like Trello, or like I mentioned, Asana, I mean, I think that that is, those are great ways to kind of start breaking down a big idea. So thank you for elaborating on that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So, so let's see. So what would you say? I'm just looking through my notes here because I think you answered a lot of my questions already. And, what else can you talk about in regards to the bag? So, you know, they're on pre-order. Can anyone learn now about the story if they go to a certain place? Can they watch a video? Can they, you know, where can someone learn more about Duo and what you're up to?
On my website, laurielane.com, I do have information on the bag itself, but also information about me and my company and videos that I have made. I still, the Kickstarter video is available through there, as well as a couple other short videos on Duo.
Well, that's great. And what about social media? How can people find out more about you on social? Did you want to throw in your social handle?
We have a Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/LaurieLaneBags. And we also have a Ravelry group, which is Laurie Lane.
That's great. So do you have a little piece of parting advice for anyone that's like thinking in this direction? They have a big idea and they're not really sure, you know, what to do or how to, you know, should they do a Kickstarter? Should they do, you know, whatever? Like, what kind of little piece of entrepreneurial advice could you give that person that's really not sure where to go with their idea?
You know, I would say the first thing you need to do is make sure that you know your customer and that your product is actually meeting a need or fulfilling something that that customer wants. The next step I would think would be to reach out to that customer base and just see if they like it, get them excited about it. And from there, then you can choose whether or not you want to launch through a crowdfunding campaign or launch the product through another means. But once you know that there's a demand for it, that's really when you can move forward and make things happen. Mm. It's hard to make things happen, even if you have the best idea ever, if people don't know about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's great advice, you know, really to just kind of tune in with what the market needs and if you have an audience that's interested. So thank you so much for sharing that. And with that, I want to say thank you, Mariah, for joining me today on Power Pearls Podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, that about wraps it up, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you enjoyed my conversation with Mariah Clark and that you found her story to be inspiring. I certainly think it is. And if you want to learn more about the Duo Bag and Mariah's story, you can go to laurielane.com. And I'm going to spell that for you because I don't think we did that in the closing there. So you know exactly where to go to learn more. So if you go to laurielane.com, laurielane.com, and this will also be in the show notes, you can learn more about the Duo Bag. And also, if you want to learn more about Stitch Amore, you can visit stitchamore.com. And I'll spell that as well. So that's STITCHAMOUR.com, Stitch Amore. So with that, you guys, I'm going to sign off once again. And thank you so much for listening to another episode of Power Pearls Podcast. I'll see you next time.